Thank y'all for listening to the dumbass, pointless, non-creative podcast.
I realized that this could be the podcast topic conversation that derails my entire career as a content creator, as well as
same,
any
same.
Aspirations I have in the union.
I've never in my life ever, touched a woman. You know, like I've never done that, but I have.
You
had,
mean violently? You want to add violently?
Violently? Okay. No. I got laid once.
You cheated on your girlfriend, and then you posted about it on social media, trying to get mad at somebody else. Like,
pay for it.
I mean, I hate to. I mean, just what a dumb motherfucker! Like,
I don't want to be the liberal here, but I don't think herpes is a just punishment at any age. It's just that's terrible.
Yo, do you get a refund if you get herpes from a sex worker?
I got my receipt.
Hey, man, it's about that time. Turn the sarcasm up. Let's go.
We are back. Back again. It's Fousey B. Welcome to the Fig Mad Podcast with Fousey B. This will be episode 54. This is going to be our second episode of the new year. It's been a pretty turbulent week, turbulent year, rather. We lost some good people. Some people got sick. Some people got hurt, you know, about the thing with the NFL player. And I think that the lesson that we're already learning is that, you know, you got to learn how to be a survival artist and to strive on. You got to dig deep inside yourself to just fight all adversaries that comes your way. But here we are. Welcome to the Fig Mad Podcast, which one person labeled as a dumbass, pointless, non-creative podcast. Thank you for listening. I'm sure you'll listen again. Let me introduce my esteemed guests on the Fig Mad panel today. First up is my guy, Shake. Shake, introduce yourself. Let them know who you are, what you do. Do you even have that podcast still running? You know, let the people know.
Yeah, I'm Shake. I got that name for a host of reasons, but, I get to the bottom of the bag. That's where that comes from. The podcast he's alluding to is the Pre-Internet Friends podcast. And we are on a bit of a hiatus. We're getting ready to roll back out when we get a new female co-host to replace my former co-host. And
she no longer your friend after the internet.
She is struggling being a city girl and a professional, and she's not doing a good job of balancing the two of those. So, you know,
that can make for great content, though.
It does. It does. She's a train wreck at times.
It did for you. Up next is who you just heard chime in was Jarrett. Jarrett, you've been on the podcast before in its previous. A staple. So just reintroduce yourself to people. You got a big event coming up. Might want to mention that.
I think I've been on the solo too. I think this is my fourth appearance.
You have. You want episode number one, Live by the Code.
Yeah. I love it. I appreciate you having me back. I'm Jared. Kind of a man around town like Fousey, but not quite as popular, as well known as he is. Thank God. I run a company called Blue Steel Promotions. We throw parties throughout Charleston.
They sponsor this podcast.
We do. We love you, Fousey. Day one.
Tell them about the event you got coming up, the big event, the February.
Yeah, it's our biggest one of the year. It's a Gatsby Gala. It's our third year doing it. It's down at the Festival Hall, which was member of the auditorium for like 80 years prior to like 3 years ago when they rebranded for some reason. It's our biggest event of the year. Like, you know, talk about, think, we always try to explain it. Think New Year's all-inclusive party, but way better. And it's not on New Year's and with the Gatsby 20s theme. You know, it's like a $300,000 budget party. But thrown by people who are trying to party, not necessarily solely just trying to make money. Obviously, that's what we do for a living. But we built this company because we were partiers. We got tired of getting ripped off. So we throw our parties for the consumer's experience. Like, giant open bar in the middle. I just don't want new lines. Everything's got to be all about getting the value for the consumer. You can attest. Like, this is the best party in Charles.
You sound a little fake mad about this.
I'm just providing data.
Gotcha. And last but not least, my guy Matt, Eagles fan. But go ahead, Matt, introduce yourself and let them know, you know, what you do, who you are, if they
sure. can. Yeah, yeah. My name's Matt Potter. Most people know me as Potter. I was on the radio here in town for quite a while, about 14 years, actually, at 98 Rock. And I was the operations manager and the program director for both 98 Rock and 105.5 The Bridge. That ended a couple years ago. But, and then I did Afternoon Drive on 98 for quite a bit, too. So everybody kind of knows me as Potter. I mean, I'm in real estate now. But always looking forward to, you know, chatting up on podcasts with people like Fousey. Like, we just got to know each other recently a little bit better.
We're friends.
And I was like, yeah, man, you got to introduce me. So, and the next thing you know, apparently we've got a lot of the same friends. So we kind of hit it off right away. So it's pretty neat. So,
you know, it's funny. You were at, you were up there with Box, huh? In the morning?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I hired Box.
That was my dude. Rest in peace to him. I spent the Christmas with him 1 year. He was like, come through, we'll hang out. And it was a good dude. But
he's one of my best friends, man. So, you know, certainly sad when he passed, you know, it was a couple years ago. So.
Small world. Well, I appreciate you guys coming to the Fake Mad Podcast. You know, it's with Fousey B, sponsored by Boosto. So let's get it popping. The first thing we can talk about, actually, I didn't even send you guys this, but I want to read this.
What the fuck you doing burning me, ho?
Huh?
Yeah, you heard me, goddammit. You burn me. I should throw your face in the garbage. That bullshit you. I'm peeing now. This shit hurt. Bitch.
All right, nigga. I'm not going to come out of the light this down. You rat.
Fuck out of here, you stinking hoe. This shit hurt. I'm peeing. I'm going to kill you when I see you. That's my word, you stinking hoe.
Well, for real, you a clown. Burn here, whatever.
You still smell like garbage, bitch. Swear to God, I should have never took this fucking car.
You wouldn't have got burned with your whack ass.
Where the Kleenex at, man? This shit hurt, man.
Whatever, you got burned. You got burned. I bet you won't go up with me.
That's my burn. I'm going to see you. I'm going to put you in 8 headlocks. This is hurting. The fuck you doing with your stink, you so bitch?
Go to the doctor. Get some pills. Get over it. I'll burst you. You a clown.
Got rug burns in your pussy. I don't like that nasty shit. Swear to my mother, I'm gonna kill you when I see you.
Hot
ass pussy.
So this, what I'm reading right now is gonna be a quote off of a young man's IG page. I'm gonna read it word for word. I know I said I don't like cursing in the first, but I'm gonna read word for word. So this curses, my bad. His name, he put it out there so I can say his name. His name is Rome Steppen 4L. Rome Steppen. He had a picture of himself on there smoking a blunt. Fresh of Duff, got some red kicks on, red sneakers, red kicks, red shirt, red and black, red hat, LA Dodger hat. I'm just trying to paint a picture for y'all. But here's what he said. He said, I'm not looking for no sympathy, man. Stop cheating on y'all girls. I paid Pretty Girl Red $50 for sex, and she gave me herpes knowing she had it. And I gave it to my girlfriend, man. I'm only 18 years old. I just graduated and she ruined my life and lying about it now. The next picture on the Instagram is the text messages he sent to her. Her name is Pretty Girl Red. Again, this is on the internet, so I'm not exposing anybody. I'm just reading what I'm reading. And it's the text messages to her. And he said, been feeling weird. Why is my dick breaking out? What the fuck? She goes, I'm sorry. She goes, I'm sorry, I didn't know. He goes, WTF, you mean you didn't know? What is it? She replies, herpes, with the crying emoji. I'm sorry, please don't tell anyone. Yeah, he didn't do that. I didn't know I had it. I'm sorry, I just left the doctor 2 days ago. That's when I found out. I'm on meds and they said you can still live a normal life. And he replies, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? I had sex with my girlfriend, I gave it to her. And then the next picture he had is, that's why I slept with two of her friends and I gave it to them too. We all going down. And then he said, stop asking why I paid. I was horny and I wanted some new. Stop acting like y'all don't cheat. So I don't mean to laugh at the young man's predicament. Shake, what are your thoughts on that?
Listen, I don't even know why you came to me first, but.
Because I saw you laughing.
That's crazy. That is a lot to digest. So, number one, I think that as an 18-year-old young man, I'm I don't know if utilizing the internet for this is the way to go. He probably could have kept this one to himself.
Probably.
So there's a lot there to unpack. He was cheating on his girl, you know, but then he's also having unprotected sex. I think if you're going to cheat, you should probably do a screening in between because of the variables that exist, you know, and he didn't do that. So now he has a lifer.
For herpes.
Yeah, he paid for herpes. Right, that's crazy. That's wild. So shout out to everybody with herpes, though. You take your medication, manage your flares. It doesn't have to be the end. Don't jump. Just manage it.
Hey, so the old school, and Jerry and Potter, please you can comment, but the old school trick we used to do, we were taught to do, right? They were talking about it on Facebook once, is like, we go by a girl's house, go in her cabinet, and look for the Valtrex, whatever it is.
Yep.
I got cursed out by a friend of mine who was like, Valtrex is not only for a sexually transmitted disease. I have it because I had one of the simplexes, like for her, she breaks out and shit with the bump, but it's not the sexual one. So it'd be remiss of me to not mention that you can use that medication. It's not just for herpes, a sexually transmitted disease. Jared, what are your thoughts on it? What advice you have for that young man and that young lady?
I was going to say, in college, I got shingles and I got Valtrex. I was like, sweet, two birds, one stone. are we allowed
shingles,
to curse
shingles
yet?
Is part of that herplex complex, for those who don't know. Shingles,
chicken pox. Yeah. Are we allowed to curse yet?
We can curse. It's past the minute mark.
Dumb motherfucker. Like, you cheated on your girlfriend, and then you posted about it on social media trying to get mad at somebody else. Like,
pay for it.
I mean, I hate to... what a dumb motherfucker. Like, you're... You posted on social media that I cheated on my girlfriend with some girl who gave me herpes. Like, what is the motivation? What's the rationale? What benefit can you have from this post? Like, besides getting all the engagement from the comments about how dumb you are. Like,
well, he has quote unquote exposed the girl too, who he paid $50 for. She's making sex workers look bad if she's a sex worker, by the way. But
somebody tells me at $50 she's not a professional. She was just willing to take $50. I mean, I don't think those are the going rates. I could be wrong.
The going rate used to be 40, Jared. I don't know. If I believe the bird up, $40 used to be the going rate. So I don't know.
Even in this inflation. Wow. I mean, I honestly don't feel bad for this idiot. I don't feel bad for the girl who got loud out. The only person I feel bad for is the girlfriend. And if he's true and wasn't just boasting about sleeping with her friends too, I feel bad for those girls. I mean, he's not innocent because by doing something as fucked up as cheating, you deserve what you get in the repercussion. The girlfriend.
Wait, you deserve herpes standard. For cheating?
I'm not saying you deserve herpes, but I don't have an iota of empathy for you.
You know, it's a lot of it too. Like, it kind of seems like a lot of with this younger generation too, where it's like it's always somebody else's fault. And look, I'm far from perfect. You know, I mean, I messed up and I cheated back in the day, you know, when I was in college, messed around with girls and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, it was my fault at the end. I mean, I didn't get herpes or anything like that, but I got busted a few times, you know, and I didn't have anybody to blame but myself. And so this particular situation, man, you got to own this and you're going to have to figure out something here. You know, I mean, but it's not anybody's fault, but your own fault. So, yeah, I agree with you, man. I mean, I don't really have any sympathy for this guy. Get over it, you know, and you're going to have to work your ass off to fix the situation or do whatever. I mean, she could probably sue the guy, you know, the girlfriend, you know, I mean, she could probably go in, you know, grab a lawyer and be like, this dude just ruined my life by cheating on me and giving me herpes. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know if she can sue him. Because it's not like he knew. I feel like
he knew she could sue.
If the girl knew that gave it to him, he could sue her.
Right. Like, if he knew that he got it before giving us anybody who knew and then gives it to somebody else can be sued.
That's assault, yeah.
But you get the right attorney, you can sue.
I just want to push back. The young man, he's 18. His name is Big Steppa. That 4L is for life. And so... You know, any woman that's dealing with him, I would imagine she's in the same age range. You know, your brain doesn't fully develop until you're 25. I don't know if
it's... Herpes develops,
right. I don't know if it's the fairest standard to... You know, you're clearly not as smart and as wise and as disciplined as you will be. And it just sucks that this is something that he's going to have to carry literally for the rest of his life. So, but as far as that girlfriend, that's a done deal. There's no uphill to climb. Like, you have to let that go. You can. He can.
She
never
also shouldn't. He could. He shouldn't call her girlfriend anymore either. Right. I mean, if she's with her since, right. It's like she's probably leaving right. him if he gave her herpes. Like, I feel like that's a really good reason to leave somebody would be if they gave you herpes. You know,
yeah, that's about as good as it gets.
Yeah, that's like a top three, and it's like top two, not two. Like, you give somebody
to clarify. STI. I don't think this guy at 18 deserved herpes for cheating. But if he was married and cheated and got herpes, yeah, you know what? I probably would say he deserved it. If he was dating somebody for 3 years and they were on the path of getting married and he destroyed somebody's life because he cheated on her, yeah, you know what? He probably did deserve herpes.
You
but
deserve
at 18,
herpes.
You didn't destroy. At 18, you didn't destroy anybody else's life. That girl should not have pinned all of her hopes and dreams on you at 18.
I don't want to be the liberal here, but I don't think herpes is a just punishment at any age. It's just that's terrible.
I just want to add my thought is that, yeah, he fucked up. But I don't think that your life is over at 18 if you have a sexually transmitted disease, not with the way that medical advancements have today. I mean, Magic Johnson lives with HIV with barely any traces of it, right? So, I mean, I'm sure he don't got that money because, you know.
I don't think the public had access to internet with Magic.
Yeah, Magic had Dr. Fauci. You know, he was the one who put Magic on that Mysterious, which is now the common, what they use for AIDS now, or HIV rather. It was experimental at the time when Magic was on it. But so I don't think his life is over herpes. Statistically, we all know somebody that has herpes because it says 1 in 3 people have herpes, right? But I think they're counting like the simplex is like, oh, they say you have the herpes simplex. So that's the shingles, that's the chicken pox, but some of them are.
And I'll go ahead and jump on the sword for this group.
Yeah, before we are, that's like cankers. Like canker sores in your mouth is like a form of herpes.
Yep. I mean, I had chicken pox when I was a kid. So, you know, yeah. I can tell you a story once when, I had that whole heart thing. Everybody knows about that. And one of the things they do is they test me for everything, including sexually transmitted diseases, because I have a compromised immune system. Around the first time I was like, go and get those tests, the one doctor was like, well, I'm sure you know about the herpes. I was like, wait, what? And he's like, no, I'm the herpes complex. You had chicken pox when you were a kid? And I was like, yo, man, don't tell me that shit like that.
That's not how you open that conversation.
Yeah, that hit me harder than finding out I need a new heart. Like, what you mean herpes? But your life isn't over, young man. You just gotta, first off, delete your account. Big step of delete your account. For life, Rome stepping for life, just start new, change your name, move to a different town, you know, go to college and don't give the girls herpes, you know, go get an NIL, get sponsored by Trojan or something. But you are an idiot. Jerry thinks you deserve herpes, but
I hope he's listening to the pod because I wonder if he's aware that he could be sued if he knows it and transmits it. So I hope he's listening to this. He has at least that piece of advice from this.
Hey, I will send the link. I'll probably name this. You pay for herpes. Like, you pay $50 for herpes?
Did he ever ask for the money back? Is that included in any of the threads?
Yo, do you get a refund if you get herpes from a sex worker?
I got my receipt.
That's why you recorded.
A girl off the street? Probably not. A girl you're friends with on Instagram? You might get the refund.
Yeah, hey, she an Instagram. Next subject. Dana White, president of UFC, and his wife got physical with each other on New Year's Eve, stunning onlookers in a crowded Cabo San Lucas nightclub. I want to go to a Cabo San Lucas nightclub. San Lucas. An incident Dana says was regretfully fueled by alcohol. The UFC honcho and Anne White, who've been married for 26 years, I never knew the man was married, that's crazy, were celebrating Saturday night with friends. Things took a turn shortly after they all welcomed in 2023. The couple were in a VIP section above the dance floor, and when Dana leaned over to say something to his wife, she reacted by slapping the fuck out of him. Dana immediately slapped her back in the face, albeit did not look as hard as when she struck him, but it doesn't matter. Before friends jumped in and pulled them apart, and it all played out in plain view of patrons down below, including the person who got the recorded video. Both were heavily intoxicated, and the video seems to bear that out because things went from 0 to 100 in an instant, seemingly for no reason. But fellas, we all know it was a reason. He saw something, he said something, he did something, and she slapped him, and he retaliated. What he said is that you heard me say for years, there's never an excuse for a guy to put hands on a woman. And now here I am talking about me putting hands on a woman. He was embarrassed by this horrible incident. He and Ann have apologized to each other. He said they're good, but their biggest concern is now their three kids with whom they already discussed the fight. He said they've been married for 30 years. It's out of character for him, which is an understatement. Never happened before. I don't believe that. Unfortunately, we're both drinking too much and things are out of control. We talked this through as a family and apologized to each other. Don't talk it through as a family, actual privacy when you smack her in public. Fellas, let's start with Potter on this. What are your thoughts on this? Let me add to this because this is the part that I want to add. I'm sorry, Potter.
Right.
Something similar had happened to my guy, Ray Rice. He got in trouble. He got suspended from the league. Then the video came out showing exactly what he told them that he did, which is that his wife spit on him. He retaliated with a punch, which he should not do. Then he tried to drag her in the elevator and wake her up. But, you know, the footage shows, and once it's on the internet never dies. Back to you, Potter. What are your thoughts on this? And why hasn't he faced repercussions like while someone like Ray Rice, who did something similar, albeit she wasn't knocked out, faced basically his career?
Well, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes currently with all that whole situation, but it's certainly not a good look for Dana White, especially when, as a sport, what they try to do is talk about what we do looks violent, but that's in the ring and that's part of our sport. But other than that, it seems like they're all about, you know, being peaceful with each other. I mean, you see the guys after fights, like hugging each other and they all take care of each other and all of that. But
right. But
the problem is that when the guy running the entire thing is slapping his wife in front of God and everybody, now we got a big problem, you know,
and he's punished people before for domestic violence. He's given out punishments. Right. He suspended people. So who punishes the punishment?
But you know, and here's the thing too, you know, I've never in my life ever, you know, touched a woman, you know, like I've never done that, but I have.
You
had,
mean violently? You want to add violently?
Okay. No. I got laid once, but
this is a safe space, Potter. Don't worry about that.
Twice. I've got two kids. So. But no. I've never done that, but I've had girlfriends in the past that would hit me. Now I'm also 6'3", 240 pounds, you know, but I always had a real issue with that. I'm actually kind of a teddy bear when it comes to it. Like I don't do anything like that. So
if a woman hit you, did you shake her? Did you shake the shit out of her?
No.
How do you stop the violence when women assault you?
I don't know, man. It's always been one of those things, and it's usually come down to the same kind of thing that they're talking about. It's usually in a drunken moment. Nothing recent. I'm talking about, like, you know, 20 years ago, just out of, you know, in college and all that kind of stuff, where, you know, I had a girlfriend or somebody that I was involved with or whatever, a girl that obviously if I wanted to control her, I could just by my size. You know, but I wouldn't do that. But I think it's something that they have to approach together. And I think they should both come out and talk about this stuff even more than just an apology. And they're embarrassed and they want to talk to their kids and now all that kind of stuff. But maybe there has to be some sort of movement that they do about, or, you know, that they start about domestic violence and things like that. And, you know, look, everybody messes up. That's a hard one to fix, though, is if it's in the public spotlight like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he cheated and gave her herpes. Jared, what are your thoughts on that?
You asked a really good question. Like, how do you stop the violence as the man in the situation? Like, and maybe that's, like, what is the, not only the legal, but the socially acceptable way to stop the violence? And maybe we need to educate about that. Like, you can't always just leave a situation when that's going on. He should not have retaliated. And honestly, like, you asked the question, like, he's suspended people in the past, but who punishes the punisher? Well, like, A, should he self-impose a suspension on himself? B, I mean, ownership does have its privileges, and unfortunately, he does own the company, so he's not subject to the same rules. Maybe he should be under more of a microscope. That's up to them. But, like, the other question is anybody who's been suspended in the past been just on allegations versus charges being presented, right? So, like,
right, Ray, this Janae, is on video.
Right, but, like, Ray and Janae, right, she didn't press charges on Ray. So, like, they handled it, and whether it's a he bought her a ring type of situation, if there's no charges brought, there's no criminal proceedings going on, that's to me is a completely different situation. Because if she's saying, well, you know what, that's how they handle it, right? Like, she hit him first. She can still press charges. He's bigger. I'm assuming she would win that. But if she chooses not to press charges because she deems that she played some sort of role, it's none of our business. It's none of the government's business at that point. But at the same point in time, to save face, maybe he should suspend himself for 6 months, even if there are no charges brought. Just set an example, like, hey, if I'm going to hold you guys to this letter of the law, I'm going to hold myself to the same standard, even if charges weren't brought against me. And I think that would prove a point and go a long way in mending.
He runs in. He has a majority. Like, even if he goes away, he's still getting paid for it. So you're just saying that the action should be done, right? Not you know, he's still going to get money.
And real quick, what I think, and you made a great point. You know, it's when you suspend yourself, you have to make this like over the top. Like, hey, I'm going to seek some treatment. I'm going to get some help. I deserve because I do hold these other people accountable, that I'm holding myself accountable right now, and make it public. And maybe that's a step in the right direction as far as domestic violence in general, you know. And it could be like, you don't have to just be the guy that slapped your wife. Now you can be a champion of, hey, I'm holding myself accountable, and everybody needs to do that themselves, you know.
All right, and Shake jumping here, but so fellas, do we think that because she hit him first, or other factors, this is not being picked up as much by the media? Like, Stephen A. saw it, and he shot him so much bell that it was ridiculous. Like, I know Dana personally, and he's not a man that hits his wife. And, you know, and maybe it is his first time slapping her back, which is weird. Maybe they play fight, and he just, you know, being drunk, his reaction was a snack. I don't know. Shake, what do you think about that?
When I saw this topic come up right before we started to record, I might add, I realized that this could be the podcast topic conversation that derails my entire career as a content creator, as well as any aspirations I have in the union. So,
you're gonna be union president. We're gonna make sure of that.
There's a lot to unpack here. I think an important distinction to make is, one, we're talking about Dana White. An owner operator versus Ray Rice, an employee, when we start speaking about that dynamic and comparing those two situations. So I think it's more appropriate to think of Jim Irsay, who was the Colts owner, and his lack of self-control, and how that ended up playing out, like in terms of there being no way to keep him in line, whereas the players would, you know, are held to a different standard.
He's and also a terrible drafter, but that's – go ahead. We're talking, right. Not talking football right
well,
now.
Well, shout out to Andrew Luck. and so I think Jarrett hit the number – he hit the nail on the head. When you ask the question, and it's a philosophical one, what is socially acceptable? That is what all of this comes down to. And this is why we even frame Dana White as a woman beater when we saw him get assaulted. we watched him get hit, and
he got hit first. They don't care about that part,
right? And so, you know, I was thinking about this. I'm like, we live in an age right now where everything is challenged, where there is debate on what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman, and the gender roles that are at work. And I think for far too long, what you see happen is like a larger man fighting a much smaller man is the same way women approach men. And that is with the expectation that if they engage physically, there isn't going to be a response or the threat of a strong response, right? I've seen numerous women who are overly aggressive with men in terms of being quick to strike that don't have that same energy for other women. You know, and that's because the expectation, I would think, is if you hit somebody that's the same gender that of you, you know, that you are, that you identify as, that smoke is coming right back. Whereas there is this belief that despite a man being physically, you know, attacked, he should have the self-restraint that this woman doesn't have right in this situation. You know what I mean? So it's about the social acceptability of it. And that's the nasty part of this, in my mind.
I think we all agree. Sorry, getting text messages. Ray Rice telling me don't talk about him. I'm joking. No. So I think we all can agree, like, keep your hands to yourself, right? As adults, keep your hands to yourself and we don't get in a situation. My personal opinion is that if someone puts their hand on you, their hands on you when they're drunk, and she's probably put her hands on him before, maybe not super violently, but you know, and expressing her point, and he's might have restrained her physically at some point in time. I think it's hard to judge, but as far as the physical optics go, you smacked her in public, bro, and that's all they see. Women, men, but not the media because they're not really fucking putting a point to it. But I think it's like as I think Potter mentioned, you gotta do something, right? You can't just say, we spoke about this as a family, and I hope people respect our privacy. You didn't respect our privacy when you smacked her in front of us. So
But Uzi, can I ask the question?
that,
What
go
is
ahead.
who draws the line on what they need to do for damage control? Because that's what we're talking about is damage control, and this is just falling in line with acceptability, you know, the politics of
I can answer
doing.
that for you.
Okay.
Who draws the line? It's society, basically. It's, well, society and shareholders, right? Society and how they view it, but the majority of their fans are looking at Dana White as the leader of this violent cult. So it's society. If you can't get past society and what they think, because most of their fans probably don't think he did anything wrong. They see him as self-defense, which, let's be clear, if a woman walked up and punched any of us in the face and we didn't know it was a woman, our first reaction is probably to strike back, right? Like, if we.
But like seeing that video and knowing it's your wife, like that wasn't self-defense. It didn't look like she was, and that's
Yeah.
kind of where I'm torn. She didn't look like she was
His was
holding
a
on
get
for the
back.
second.
He wanted to get back. She smacked him. He wanted to get her back. He smacked her back. Like,
Right.
don't fucking smack
She
me. We're in front of
wasn't already
company.
tuned up for the second shot. Like
What'd
he
you
didn't
say?
need to stop her. She wasn't like already wound up for the second punch. Like she hit him and looked like she was done.
And
Like
another
he
part
didn't
is
need
like
to
when they
restrain her
broke
and
them
stop
up.
it.
If you watch that video again, I sent y'all the link. If you watch that video again, after he smacked her and they like the friends broke them up, she threw her drink at him. So like if you see right at the very end, a drink comes at him and hits him, and that's her throwing it. Like so, she was in argument mode. She was in go mode, you know. And then he turned back around and tried to look back into the crowd, like, "Hey guys, I'm Dana White," you know. So
Like I
very
watched the video, but like again, like
you gotta
he
think too,
didn't.
though. I mean, like
Go ahead.
seriously, we think this was the first time that there's been a slap
No.
between either of them, whether it was she or him, like ahead, like for the first time ever, and they've been together 26 years. I'm not saying that's justified. Like you get one every,
It's
you know, 12
probably
years.
not.
I'm just, you know, just
A
happened to be in front of
1.2
a
average on the
camera.
slaps.
Right. Like, all right, 26. All right, you get one. Oh, your fourth year's coming up. You get they hit me next year. So, like, whatever. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I think they have to make some sort of statement now together, it seems like, where they could say what we did was wrong. We do promote a violent sport, but
Right.
the point of our sport is inside the ring, not outside. That's all love outside of the ring, and that's it.
Supposedly.
And they have to move forward with that.
Right. So
Or he's gonna look
let's not
terrible. I mean,
hamper
he's
on
gonna
it.
look terrible. He's gonna look terrible.
So if you were, let's say if you were Dana White or his managing partners, right? Because he's a minority partner, not a minority, but a minority partner. That plays a point. Potter, what to lay it down, right? To what would you do if you were Dana White or partners? How would you do this to end this, to make it look nice for the media? How do you make a violent
Well,
sport look
okay.
nice?
How many managing partners are there about, I guess? I mean, how many big dogs are there? Obviously, he runs the show.
Yeah,
Let's
well,
say
they,
there's
it was owned by the twins, and then they sold it. So I think it's one guy who runs everything, but he has a bunch of principal partners that make decisions with him. And then Dana's at the very end of that, but he owns about 10%.
a couple other important people
There's
in
like
the
one or
ring.
two big dogs at the top,
Yeah, okay. One or two big
but it's an
dogs at the top.
investment to them. Like they'll cut it loose if the investment becomes
Well,
negative.
look, there's no doubt that he's obviously an incredible promoter. I mean, th there's too many things going on with that sport itself. And now after, like, let's just take for example, this is probably tough to relate to each other, but like let's say this past week with DeMar, I think we're probably going to hit that subject in a bit too. But with you know, with
He's back
sport being
healthy.
and Yeah, I know, but it, with sport being as violent as it is, that promoting violence inside the ring, as I said earlier, and on the gridiron for football and all that kind of stuff, and that now outside the ring, it's supposed to be all love, all taken care of, all, like all of us taking care of each other, and it's a brotherhood and all that. And for the big dude for the most violent sport out there, or I guess you could say it's UFC or football.
No, hand-to-hand combat is definitely going to be the most violent. I mean, football is the most collision.
Sure.
Base, but
okay. Well, regardless, they're still not the same.
But yeah.
But for him to be doing something like that, you know, there has to be a big move. So if it's his partners, you got to sit down and say we got to attack this the right way, and say, I think, Jared, I think that was you that suggested that, but I think suspending yourself for 6 months and making a big movement of, you know, I'm going to take some courses and learn some stuff. It's like a lot of times you have to do that in life. You know, you back up and go, okay, maybe I need to rethink some things. I mean, nobody should just
even
reactionary,
if it's
just slap your own wife in public, right. You know? I mean, you shouldn't
that's
do
not,
it.
That's not a normal couple behavior, like smacking your
right,
wife.
Right. So, you know, I would imagine that his partners are talking to him and going like, they're probably coming up with some kind of game plan on what they should do. And hopefully it's not BS. Hopefully it's like a real reflection, you know, to
BS.
Himself going like, okay, like maybe I should, you know, maybe she and I should both do some counseling together or whatever the case.
She ain't going to that. You see her reaction? She ain't trying to do counseling. Jared, what would you, what would you?
Well, you kept saying, you kept asking the question of what should the partners do? And I think it's much, whether you spin it this way, but it means way more if he suspends himself versus this is a decision he and the partners come to. I mean, he's rich as shit. He can afford 6 months without pay. And maybe he takes, and maybe he or the UFC donate his 6 months with a salary to some sort of charity or educational
domestic
program
violence or something like that. No, that makes sense.
Turn his awful situation into a force for good. But I mean, he can afford it. Now, the UFC can operate without him for 6 months. And it's just, you can't hold your, you can't, as a boss, you can't ask your staff to do something you wouldn't do. You can't hold them to a standard you don't hold yourself to.
Facts.
Right.
They just,
well, you can do the do as I say, not as I do. He is the face of UFC.
100%. No good boss will ever ask his staff to do something he wouldn't do and would not hold his staff to a standard he would not hold himself to.
But a billionaire
to.
Boss might.
I said good boss. Forget the what you and I think. Just for his own like morale inside of his organization, like all of his fighters and whatnot. Like, yo, so you can do that on camera, and we just have allegations and we get suspended. Like, no, you got to step up, be a man, own your mistakes. Now, this might not be the politically correct. She needs to go to some therapy too.
That's what I was saying.
Therapy. You mean like anger therapy? Because she gonna say he deserved it. Whatever he did, he deserved it. And he never said why she smacked her, right? He just said, oh, we got drunk and hey, you got smacked for a reason. Your wife ain't smack you for no reason. So, you know, like, but Shakes, what's your final thoughts on it?
I think it's a private matter, you know, if that's what he signed up for. I'm not vested. I'm from New York, like old Brooklyn. Where we don't have
shout out to the Nets.
That don't pertain to us, right? Like if we see something, say something. They say that to us for a reason. We walk by stuff all the time. This though,
the New York.
I think all we're really talking about is: do we need the optics to be able to be digestible? And that's why I don't have a personal connection with this more than this. Just feels like a business maneuver.
Allow me to interject. Uh-huh. Just because I know you somewhat. Mm-hmm. If you walk by, you see somebody, a man smack a woman, you're not going to keep walking. That's not you.
Listen, I can tell you real stories.
Now, if you see somebody fighting and a gun's come out, you're going to keep walking. It's not your business.
Real stories. Because I have a good buddy of mine who is doing, he's doing a master's in masculinity studies.
A master's in masculinity. Was he Was he Kevin Samuels?
No. His name is Floyd. Shout out to Floyd. He's doing a lot of work in social cannabis equity as well.
Shout out to him. If we was Nori, we'd be clapping right now. But yeah, shout out.
Right. And so, but yeah, one of the things that he talked about is a phenomenon that every guy that I know has experienced, which is the I forget the name for it now, but it's just the scenario of a female friend, a girlfriend, a mother, a sibling, cousin, you know, a woman that's in their lives, getting into some kind of drama, some kind of friction, and you being the person that they're going to go get.
Situations.
Right. And you all, we see it time and time again. All you have to do is go into your Google. The son is brought into the McDonald's because the mother's fries is cold. He kills the guy in the McDonald's. It's so many stories. I'm telling you. I'm not a small guy either. I grew up in Brownsville, Brooklyn. I have personally wagered my freedom.
The grimiest part of Brooklyn, if you've never been to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I got Brownsville cousins in Brownsville. Go to Brownsville alone. I promise you. And we all know I'm from Jersey. I've never been a guy to be scared of anywhere. I'm from Passaic. I've been through Patterson. I've been through certain parts of Brooklyn. I'm not saying I'm the toughest guy. I've been through Baltimore, Cherry Hill. You know, I got family out there. Shout out my man.
Is it kind of like Mount Pleasant?
Yeah, exactly the opposite. But don't do Brownsville. I will just tell you that. Anyway, go ahead, Shay.
I say all that to say, you know, when I was 18, I avoided herpes, but I also had close encounters.
You have the $50 though. No. It was like $30 then. It was 30.
Right. Held on to my money, but we made poor decisions based off of the ego of I'm going to put on this cape and I'm going to defend this person's honor. And it happens all the time. So last part of this, I've seen with my first hand, a woman be assaulted by her boyfriend. A guy assesses the situation, intervenes, breaks up the fight and gets into it with the guy. And the woman turn on the hero and they jump the guy and leave off together right after assaulting the guy together. Like it's, you can't drink that Kool-Aid. You know what I'm saying? You cannot. It's years of watching this go left has conditioned me at this point to be jaded. Like, I don't have it in me.
Let's go to yes or no. Should the public mind married people's business? Potter, yes or no?
Yeah, I do. I think now you have to monitor everything now. I mean, that's...
And there's more
there's plenty of examples. I'm sorry, I know it was yes or no, but I'm just saying there's plenty of examples out there of people that are in toxic, terrible relationships and they cannot get out because they don't know how to ask for help. So that could be Dana, that could be his wife, that could be something else that's going on that is completely, you know, everybody thinks everything's fine and it's mind your business. Okay, well. Now it's supposed to be like we're supposed to watch out for everybody, but now also mind our business. That's a tough situation. It really is. I mean, I don't know exactly what should happen, but yeah, I think you should. I mean, like you always got to look out. We all have friends. We all have that couple that's, you know, a friend of ours.
Always arguing. You never know why they're together. They're
always in a fight. They're always something going on.
You know some friends like that. We got the same friends.
Yeah, they're outside. They're always arguing. And you're like, dude, this is a child's birthday party. Like, what are you doing? And y'all are out here, like, yelling at each other. Like, this is a grown-ass party.
And you know what happens, Potter? They go home and they have makeup sex.
And they do. But that doesn't fix it. We all know that. Doesn't. We all love the makeup sex. But
it leaves our public and even it leaves our friend perception a little fucked up, right? And then, like, when they break up, watch this. Jared runs a league where he doesn't allow couples in it because if they break up, he doesn't want people to choose the man or the woman.
I don't want to have to choose, and I don't want them both there. So no,
I didn't make that. Fuck them. Jared, yes or no? Should the public stay out of private business when it's done in public?
No. And really quick to touch on that, respectfully, Matt, no. But as you said, friends should be able to intervene, but the fucking public should stay the fuck out of it, like. As you say, you have the toxic friend group. The friend group should say something about to that couple, but the bartender saying something to them or somebody in South Dakota who sees it on social media one time saying something to them isn't going to do anything to help the situation. So, yes, there are certain situations that people need help and guidance and whatnot, but that's not the public's responsibility or job. That's that's their circle. That's their people's job. And no, I'm tired of the fucking public being involved in everybody else's bull fucking shit. So no,
well, absolutely. I think that's a great point.
Take care of it in public.
It shouldn't be Twitter's job.
Oh,
to
the bird app.
To fix their situation.
I'm introduce you to Black Twitter. It's going to change your life.
I already know it.
Shake, what are your final thoughts on this?
I think that the public having an opinion it's been a thing. You know, before the internet, you had National Enquirer and all of the other tabloids, right?
Page Six,
you
know, right?
You want to be able to have commentary. Yeah. Should you have an opinion, though? Should you be vested in other people's private matters? The answer is no, right? What you're doing in the privacy of your bedroom is not my business. I could care less what you're doing. If you're hitting her, she's hitting you. That's how you guys, that's your love language. Keep it in-house.
Your love language is violence?
Yo, shout out to Blueface and Christian Rock. Right? That's not healthy. But all of the things that he's done, all of the headlines that he
can't rap.
For criminal
I'm
stuff,
edit that I criminal want activity.
The most frightening aspect of this is this chick. She's a bruiser. You know what I'm saying? There's no doubt that she's initiating these fights and probably finishing them. She's a bruiser.
Shake brought up a couple good points. Should the public have an opinion? Can they have an opinion? And should their opinion matter? I think all the answers are different. Can they have an opinion? Yes. Should they have an opinion? I don't care. Should their opinion matter? Absolutely fuck not. Now you can move on.
Unless there's... Remember what I said before, right? I said the shareholders and... What I said... I had a good compliment. I forgot.
Shareholders and your paying customers are the only people whose opinions should matter. This.
Consumers and shareholders. That's what it is. You have to cater to both. The first thing you cater to is your shareholders. We know because of the way these corporations are handling their business, especially these days where the CEOs are getting raises and the bottom tier workers are getting fired. Anyway, y'all gonna have me on a rant. Next up, let's make it fun. Gentlemen, let's see. I started with Shank. Shank. You got me calling him Shank because you said his name wrong. Shake. Potter, we gonna start.
I'm pretty sure that's what I said. I just mumbled. Apologies.
You said though. Shank. It's recorded, you know? Anyway, Potter, let's start with you. I'm just fill in the blank. We don't even got to go deep. Matter of fact, I'm going to make this fun. Shake, you're going to answer these questions, and Potter's going to ask you. So, Potter, ask the question, why do women blank? And Shake going to answer it for you. So, ask your question, Potter.
Why do women slap their husband that runs the UFC?
Because they can.
All right, now Jared, I want you to ask, why the woman blank, and Potter's gonna answer.
I don't want to play this game.
You signed up. Signed up for the double, son.
I signed up last week to be on the pod. I got the list of questions at 6:47.
In the morning, because this pod comes out in Friday morning. So he got a 6:47 in the morning. Happy Friday, everybody. Go ahead, Jared.
Happy Friday. Why women be tripping about everything?
Potter?
Stress. From stress. Me.
No.
I will not deal with my ass.
So all women be tripping because of your stress?
No. They're stressed out because of me. I got, you know, I mean, I got problems too, you know, I mean, she's got to deal with my ass a lot of times too. I mean, I've got work and kids and life and all that stuff. And so they've got to,
I got 99 problems and a woman's every one of them. Shakes,
more than that.
I ask your question and Jared's going to answer.
Okay. And I can put this to the whole panel actually, but why do women disallow you from talking to one of their friends when they're in a group and you speak to the one that's not single first?
Jared,
did you rephrase that?
When you encounter a group of women that are attractive as a collective and you go to engage with one of them or two of them, depending on how dynamic you are, why is it that if you speak to the one that is not the most available, that you are no longer eligible to talk to them?
Like, two reasons I can think of. Mm-hmm. I think I got the scenario. Two reasons, and they're probably very rarely in play at the same time. Jealousy and protectiveness. They're either jealous they didn't get the attention, or they're protective because they think you're hitting on the girl who's in the relationship. and they want to look out for their friend.
I mean, we've all seen that. We've all seen that side look, you know, from your girl. You're like, why are you talking to her?
The one thing I notice about when girls do that whole group protect, and I've talked about this before, where it's like, if a guy took a shot at you and you didn't want him to take the shot, ladies, it's okay to let your girl get her blessings. Like, why you he went for me first. Yeah, you didn't want it. So, all right, you won the lottery, but you never cashed your ticket. Let your girl get her money. You know, it's like, so I get it. And also there's I don't know if you guys ever met How I Met Your Mother, but it's a dude was like, I think it's called the group nine factor. I forget what he called it, but it's like, girls look prettier when they're around girls that are not as pretty as them.
Cheerleader effect.
The cheerleader effect. There you go. And again, I never body shame. I never call anybody ugly because there's somebody for everybody. But sometimes girls that you find attractive are not as attractive when they're not around their group of friends. And girls are very selective in who they're friends with. Now, shout out to the new school, mostly millennials. They hang out with any fucking body because they group together to hate men. So I get y'all girls. Girl power. Like, y'all hate us. I get it. Men have done some fucked up shit. You know, sometimes when girls tell me how guys treated them, I can't even roll for the dogs. I'd be like, nah, let's sleep in dogs and lie. But damn, that dog might need to be put out the pasture because I couldn't even think of some shit like that, you know, especially if they paying $50 for herpes.
I didn't want to regress as I keep doing, but also, he paid $50. You know, buyer beware. You get what you pay for in life.
Buyer beware.
Wait. I don't want to drag it, but what's the price point where you should be free and clear?
$100?
A couple hundred, I'd say. Several hundred.
Jared, have you paid a couple of hundred to smash?
No. I've seen some movies and some TV shows. I would pay several hundred dollars.
We got to talk about our price ranges. If you hanging in the hood and the top rate girl who is not a, well, I guess she's a sex worker, has an OnlyFans, support local sex workers and their OnlyFans because a lot of them listen to my show. Shout out to y'all. I've never directly paid for sex. When I say directly, it's directly because gentlemen as a whole, and even women too, you take somebody out, you want it, not them, you end up, somebody paid that tab, but you're not paying for the actual action of sex, right? Or as
I paid for the drinks.
Well,
yeah, I like to say having sex and getting a receipt for it.
You get a receipt. You know how it's for your book to balance your books. You know,
you see this bill?
Counting 101.
You see this bill?
Yeah, you know, like. They're like, who is OnlyFans? Hey, that remember Scam Likely called me? They got me. But anyway, take care of your local sex workers. That's all I'm saying. We support single moms and we support small businesses here. So, I mean, I personally don't have OnlyFans, but you know, y'all can send me the drafts and I'll review them for you. I'll do that as your friend. I'm just saying, I'm trying to help out my people in the best way I know how.
You know, at Reds that night. We were talking about making the OnlyFans for my calves.
Wait,
were in a manager for me.
Your calves? Might have been drunk and said I probably could do that, but let's not name bars that we hang out at.
Yeah, I've long said if somebody wants to send me some money for pictures of my feet, I'm in.
Now we're talking about guys selling feet pics. This is not gonna happen on the Fake Mad podcast. Fellas, we gonna listen to this. I sent this to you earlier, so you should have a sound bite, and I'll probably put a clearer sound bite for the actual podcast. But listen to this. This is about the Baltimore mayor.
In Baltimore and across this country right now, after the pandemic, people are dying over dumb shit. And that's the reality. And we have to understand how we're gonna hold those people accountable. We need help.
Everybody heard that clear?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there's certain people, certain Republicans, but not only Republicans, some people who hate this guy. First of all, shout out to Mayor Brandon Scott. He's created headlines and some type of debate because he unleashed some profanity. Now, what he said is that people are dying over dumb shit. Before I go on, let me say this. Coming from Baltimore, where I lost a few friends to violence, and even from Jersey, coming when I was in Baltimore, I went to Morgan State, did 11 years in Baltimore. I lost some friends to violence. I've had some friends take care of unawake people or unalive people to violence, right? I've been around those trenches. And thank God I've never been unalive myself as I'm still here. And I've never had the opportunity to do that I know of. You know, I'd be drunk. Anyway, the matter is, they're saying, please dismiss. The reason why he said that is because a 7-year-old was shot to death. A 7-fucking-year-old, right? Now, see, I got a 4-year-old daughter, so I'm going to try to keep my emotions at bay because I'm the moderator for this show, the Fake Mad Podcast with Fousey B. And so it was a 7-year-old who got killed. Mayor Brandon M. Scott, who he should have went to Morgan, but he didn't. He went to some Christian college. I'm not mad at the Christian college. I'm just, you know, if you're in Baltimore, you should at least try to go to Morgan, bro. He was upset, and to requote him, he said, we know in Baltimore and across this country right now, after the pandemic, people are dying over dumb shit. I agree. That was the soundbite. To finish what he said, and that's the reality, we have to understand we're going to have to hold people accountable that they're not consistently arresting the same people over and over. We see them get released back out. What he's saying is the mayor, and he's trying to clean it up, these same people that we keep getting arrested for violent crimes are getting let go because of, Twitter will tell you it's because of two liberal judges, but it's not because of the judges too liberal. It's because the jails are overcrowded. They're understaffed and they have to let some of these people go. But goddamn, like, and I'm gonna let y'all get to this, but I just wanna say, a lot of us, when I say us, I mean the young black community. I don't know if I'm considered young anymore, but the black community, free my guy, free my guy, free my guy. And I got some guys who deserve to be free. Anybody who got locked up for selling drugs, especially marijuana in New Jersey or Baltimore. Well, Baltimore started actually decriminalizing, and now it's actually legal to smoke weed in Baltimore after this last political go-round. So shout out to fucking Maryland and Baltimore for getting progressive. Jersey, you on the radar. South Carolina, can you please catch the fuck up? Anyway, I got some guys who need to be free because they were just, they weren't selling drugs. They were providing plants that happen to get you high if you light it, Cat Williams quote. But also, we all have some, well, not we all, but there's some violent people who we know are killers. We know some stone cold serial killers, and we've been around them. If you grew up in a hood, I know a few, and most of them from Baltimore, not Jersey. I knew maybe two of them, but you know, we know some serial killers that, like, you go out killing people. Chirac deals with a lot. Can we stop saying freedom? Can we heal them instead of saying free such and such? Let's say heal such and let's heal them. Let's fucking get them help. Let's stop killing each other. Let's stop killing people in general. Everybody deserves to live, except those who, if you rape a little kid or if you rape a woman, ostracized, cut your dick off. And if you kill people, you gotta go buried under the jail execution. But in general, most people are not like that. Here I go on a tangent. Anyway, the point of this is that the Baltimore mayor said a bad word, and people up in arms are saying that he should resign. Because, again, I'm going to quote, he said, people are dying over dumb shit. Jared, should he resign or was he right?
Absolutely not. I grew up 20 minutes in Baltimore.
That's right. My whole family, you are a Maryland boy. You're a crab cake boy. Talk about it.
My whole family has left the state because of the politics. It's just the shambles up there. It's getting worse. I love this quote because he's upset about it. And the whole trying to be politically correct and watch your words and whatnot is almost placating to an extent. Like, I want a government official who's watching our children die to be sad and pissed off to a point where he's not watching every word that comes out of his mouth, because that's somebody who's going to take action and do something about this. And the only thing I disagree with is, since the pandemic, people have been dying of dumb shit. People have been dying of dumb shit, especially in Baltimore.
Allow me to interject, because I'm fast in stats. What he says about that is that during the pandemic, you know, at one point, Baltimore was the capital for murder. It's not Chicago. Actually, St. Louis took over. Chicago's right there. St. Louis took over because it's a smaller dynamic and, like, they count. Anyway, but he's saying that the numbers went down for the pandemic and now they're back up because people are back outside. But go ahead, Jerry. Facts and stats. Go ahead.
I listened to it and I was explaining a completely different bit when you said it to us. I applaud this gentleman. I do. I want my political elected officials, the people who are in charge that actually have some say and some power to do something about this, to be sad and to be pissed off, and to be sad and pissed off enough, they don't watch the word shit come out of their mouth.
talk that
because
shit.
If somebody's gonna, if they're gonna say that on TV, I'm guessing this is TV, not just Twitter. They're gonna say that on TV.
Nah, yeah, it was on Baltimore TV.
They're emotionally motivated enough to do something about it finally, and so I applaud this gentleman.
Right, Pot, I'm going to you next, but this is a quote that one person on the Bird app said. I understand his passion, but show some sort of professionalism when you're mayor. This is unprofessional. What do you say to that, Potter?
Yeah, you know, okay, there's a – my point on that is I see both sides. I'm not really upset with them either. I don't think shit is as bad a word as it used to be. You know, I mean, it's like everybody says shit.
Talk that shit.
No big deal. However, so like I was saying earlier, coming from like a radio background, like it's actually legal to say – to curse in the middle of the day on the radio. Your problem is, what does it do for you? Right. Your point, Jared, is that, you know, like it does show passion, and I agree with that. It does. But do you exclude too many people that are offended by that for whatever reason? Because nobody should be offended by the word shit. Like, that's not that big of a deal. But did you get your point, or did you lose? Did you get your point across and lose voters and the passion that you have?
He's not worried about votes. The things though, that Potter, you're gonna he's not worried about votes.
No. I'm just talking about the people behind him. I'm not saying he's worried about votes right this second. I'm just saying that sometimes you exclude people. Like we had words and songs that we didn't really have to omit that we put on the radio, but we did it because we would lose 4 listeners in a car if you said, if you used shit in Pearl Jam, you know, Jeremy, you know, or seemed a harmless little fuck from Jeremy. You know, sometimes you don't win anything by doing something like that. Now, I do see the passion side, so I'm kind of like on the fence here, but
I want to remind you, a 7-year-old kid was shot. A 7-year-old kid was shot to death. That's all I want to remind you about.
I'm agreeing, and I do admire his passion about it. I'm saying that, and I don't think he should resign. I don't think anything like that. I think he should say, hey, that's my passion, and we are going to clean up this stuff. And that's it. You know, that's where you move on from there. You don't have to be like, oh,
killers I'm off the street.
Doesn't have to be a public apology. He doesn't have to do anything like that. Just a, hey, man, that's my passion. We'll move forward, and then you just don't do it again. Or, I mean, not to say, I mean, what's he going to do next time? I mean, is he like, well, that's my thing now. I say shit. I say fuck. I do.
No, that's not him.
I think the going back to the respectability politics, that's what's at play here on one level.
Respectability politics. I like that.
Yeah. And then I think the 800-pound gorilla in the room is, there's a racial element to this, and people are using this opportunity for this emotional response, which was a candid and it was an honest one, as a way to try to leverage a political outcome. So we watched Donald Trump when he was a nominee, not an elected office. He's running for the highest office in the land, say he wanted to grab a woman by the pussy, and was able to get elected. So
no, because he is like being real, and that was locker room talk, right? That was locker room talk.
The idea that this black mayor has somehow pushed the boundaries, you know, somewhere where, you know, his constituents or people who are observing the situation from afar, where they can't reconcile the two, like, you know, I don't believe it. I'm going to call bullshit.
Right, because that's what
I think.
Call
two things. That's his one time. That's his one freebie. You don't get to always be passionate and get that as your excuse for using the curse word.
I want to remind you, a 7-year-old was killed.
Right. That's what I'm about to bring back to you. Like, this is something you should be driven by passion and emotion to make change. And if that passion leads you to say shit one time, I want to actually applaud him. But that can't be your new shtick. Number two.
Which is not. He doesn't go around cursing, but. Also, shout out to him because you know what? Baltimore City Mayor Brandon M. Scott, who I told y'all guys, I met him at Morgan. He wasn't Morgan stupid. He would come up there. He always had political aspirations. But you know why I love this guy outside of this? For his Christmas picture, he had a Christmas sweater on and it said Wu-Tang Forever. He had a Wu-Tang Christmas sweater on. I said, I fucking love that guy. But I liked him beforehand.
The other point was, I don't think anybody who's offended by the word shit was voting for this gentleman anyway. So I think he's fine. Right. Let's just, you know, it's just like the Dana White thing. Like, Let the news cycles pass. Let it be. It shouldn't be recurring.
It should not be a recurring topic. I'll point out, and we move on. We'll move on because we get into time. I only asked you, gentlemen, for an hour or so your time. So we'll move on. But I just want to point out it was because a 7-year-old was killed. Exactly. And he's upset. I'm still disgusted a 7-year-old got killed by a book. Cancer. All right, we can be mad at God, be mad at whoever. Cancer. This is a bullet that took a child's life. And so as a father, I'm with him on this. It's shit like this should not be happening. I already forgot the quote. Oh, people are dying over dumb shit. That happens every day. For him to express it, yes, I agree. And for people to say he's unprofessional, fuck off. He's a professional where he's hiring more people in the police force. He's trying to shut down crime. He's putting more money into all these community programs to stop it from getting here, because at no point in our life ever should we look at our bingo board of life and say 7-year-old shot by a bullet. All right, we're gonna go. This is our last segment before we get to the Fig Mad segment. It's been a pretty deep one, and I appreciate y'all for staying here on the Fig Mad podcast with Fousey B and Jared and Potter and Shakes. Next subject, Potter, we gonna start with you. So this girl actually sent me this message, and then she put it on her Facebook, but I'm not going to say her name because she asked me not to. What does it mean when your man, her man, can block you on social media, but he never blocks his exes? Potter, what is your answer to that? She's asking, why does her man keep blocking her on social media, but per her request, he won't block his exes?
Because he's childish. I mean, I don't really get the whole blocking thing anyway. If you block me once, then just keep it that way. I don't get that whole, like, if you know anybody with that kind of relationship, like any
toxic,
any couple that they're like constant, oh, he won't talk to me, oh, he blocked me, but they're still together, there's way deeper issues, you know, like that just kind of stuff.
Let me pose a question to you. So some couples on purpose stay out of each other's social media. Like, they'll block you so that, because they know each other, but also, like, let's be real, women and some men too, because we all deal with feelings and emotions. And this is the part of the podcast where I say everyone should have therapy, even if it's not a professional. Talk to someone you know who will keep you grounded and not judge you by your actions. Sorry, Potter. So we all have emotions, and we don't want to see our significant other and like somebody picture when they're in a bikini or when they're in a banana. You know, so I get it. Some couples stay completely out of each other's social media. So I think her point more so is he'll be quick to block me, but he won't block his exes. And I'm like, that's what it is.
I don't know. It just sounds to me, I mean, that just sounds like a, you know, they have their own issues. I mean, blocking your current boyfriend or girlfriend, like, that just shouldn't happen. Obviously, you should just, that should be, you know, either fix that where that doesn't happen at all.
Some smell fishy. Is that fishy?
What's that?
I
blocking said some somebody stuff. Like that you're currently involved with?
Is that fishy? Some terrible. Smell fishy, man. It might be a rat. Jared, what you think about that? Would you block your current ex? And we'll go back to the question that was posed, is what does it mean when your man can block you on social media but can't block his exes?
Five words. Run for the fucking hills.
Right. Agreed. Absolutely. I mean, agree.
In what fucking world does that make any fucking lick of sense for a normal, stable, healthy relationship?
Hey, you can't spell intoxicated without toxic. That's the quote I've been trying to get out forever. But
wait, I'm intoxicated very often. I'm not toxic that often.
You gotta spell toxic in it. Hey. A hit dog will holler. You barking right now?
I feel attacked.
All right, so you're saying run for the hills when that person shakes?
Yeah. No questions asked. Get the fuck out.
Shakes. He probably on his run of foot right now.
No, I'm here. I'm just I'm so surprised by these answers. Okay, so listen. I think the fact that she's
then when Shakes asking, is the voice of reason on the podcast.
The fact that she's even asking the question is the reason why she has to be blocked. All right, we don't know the dynamics between her and her boyfriend, right? But let's presume for a moment that he has a significant distance between him dealing with his exes in a romantic way, right? And that they've somehow preserved a friendship that is based on real value, right? The actual substance to their friendship. And this is a situation where, as his new girlfriend, she feels like he should automatically distance himself from people who he was once romantically linked to. Now, is it appropriate for him to end all of these friendships just to preserve this unknown, you know, relationship with this new girl? You know what I mean? I know women that approach that have a sensitivity to exes regardless of the distance. But to avoid all of that, you say, look, I'm going to make sure that you can't be triggered by what you see. We're not going to interact on social media. So I don't got to worry about the guys leaving hard eye comments. And if I take a picture wearing gray sweats, mind your business. And you know, you keep the peace.
Yo, I had an ex question me about gray sweats before, and this is before the whole thing where I guess the girls knew about it before. It's like, why are you wearing gray sweats? I'm like, I've had these gray sweats before I even known you. Like, what's the problem? Like, I'm going to the gym. And you wearing these on purpose. Another one,
and this is an unpopular opinion, but this was a thing with one of my exes. The idea that social media is not a real place. It's not a real thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, does not trump reality. Like, I'm cool in real life. And what we're doing when we're together, what we're doing when we're apart, but in real life means more than, you know, what social media intimates. You know what I mean? Like, we got to be grounded.
I agree.
I 1,000,000% agree with everything you just said. I did not consider that as a plausible reason for this going on. I assumed he was doing shady shit, and that's why he was blocking the girlfriend. But if the scenario you laid out is what's taking place, this gentleman is 100% correct to do what he's doing. And trust me, as a guy who is in the line of work that I am, I get that crap all the time. So yes, I never thought about blocking the current girlfriend so she couldn't see. But yes, the jealousy and all that crap is something that I deal with on the regular.
I think that's the thing too, though, that, I mean, if blocking is going on with your current relationship, I mean, that just seems unhealthy in general. I mean, like, I can...
Unless you agree to block each other on social media when you start.
Maybe, I don't know. I've never been in that situation, but I'm just saying that, like, when I get in a fight with my girl, like, we just don't talk. I mean, that's it, you know? Like, you know, like, I mean, we just kind of, you know, like, hey, I'm going to need a night, you know, whatever. There's, you know, there's dinner in the fridge, you know, everything's cool. But
shout out to Potter's girl. She's a really good friend of mine. She's an awesome person. Platonically, because on people read shit. But platonically, she's an awesome person. I actually hung out with Potter and his girl the night that we went, the day after David passed, David Eller. We went to the bar. We hung out. We had drinks. They took me to they took me to some wine and cheese place in West Ashley. No free promo. And it was awesome. It was, you know, it was
good.
Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you know, I don't want her to think
we're no, that's it. That's it. Just to me, you know, like if there's blocking going on, and it's just not something that I've ever been a part of. I mean, I don't know if that's a normal thing where you know, couples that are currently romantic, that they just block each other for a day or two or whatever.
It might be for mental stability. Some people do it. I'll tell you, I've never blocked anyone I was romantically linked with because you're going to get this work. This is me. I'm the same person online that I am in real life.
Same.
And I'm sarcastic. I have my jokes. I talk my shit. But the reward is that you get to get me at the end of the night. If you have a problem with how I interact with people, block me then, because I'm not blocking you. I don't give a fuck. Like, and that's for friend, that's for foe. That's any block me. This is how I interact with people. Like, this is me. Like, I'm a Gemini, so they say I'm flirtatious in nature. Just because I'm flirtatious don't mean I want to sleep with the girl, you know.
Right.
But also, I'm the other side of my Gemini is like, just because she sent me news don't mean I want to sleep with her. But I looked.
But here's a question for Potter and for the panel: would you say that the health of your relationship is affected if you're not connected to your significant other on social media?
Great question.
That is a great question. I don't know. I guess we're both very active on social media, so we kind of interact all the time. So it would be weird if we didn't see each other on social media. So maybe that's why it would be odd if she blocked me for the day, you know, with no intention of like, hey man, we got some real issues going on. at least in my eyes. But again, that's because I've never been a part of a relationship like that. I've only got like one, maybe two people that I'm blocked from, or I've blocked them.
Bonnie has sex twice and you got two kids.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I just never been a part of that. So I'd have to see that. But I would like to think, or at least I do think, that if I was in a relationship where there was constant blocking from me, you know, from each other, I would feel uncomfortable with that. Like, I'm pretty much an open book. So I don't know. Just, it'd have to be something I experienced.
But you don't want to keep it private? Jerry, you want to answer that question that Shakes asked?
Sorry, I just said it there. Again, it goes back to the other scenario. Like, if you're blocking and unblocking, then you're trying to hide certain things and not other things. So, but like, I don't think it's a terrible idea for my personal life moving forward. I never considered me to not be connected to somebody I'd be in a relationship with. But like, who's, you've seen my Instagram. If you were a girl who was dating me, would you love all the things that I post on my Instagram? But I mean, I have to for what I do for a living, right?
I would never imagine myself as a girl, but Shakes, re-ask your question so that he could
that's wild. I basically was saying, does the health of your relationship, you know, come into question if you're not connected to your significant other on social media? That was the question.
It's a great question. I would say case by case. Like, the vast majority of time,
you would think he has a podcast, huh? The way he asking those questions,
right? I would say it's probably case by case. Like, for my situation, it might behoove me to not be connected to future relationships on Instagram, because my most recent relationship was not terribly happy with what I was posting on social, and her parents.
Shout out to her, good friend of mine. I'm sorry, Gatsby, go ahead.
Her family also follows me on social. And so she gets questions from time to time. And when she doesn't completely understand why I post what I post, she's not in the best position to explain that to other people. So their questions would also make her feel worse than she probably already might have felt, which I think hurt our relationship. So maybe moving forward, for me, it is best to not be connected to somebody. I would say, but that's because of what I do, and it's probably not the normal scenario. So probably in most scenarios, it probably is not a good thing to be disconnected, but for certain cases, an argument can be made that it is beneficial to be disconnected? Question mark?
And again, this is coming from the dumbass, pointless, non-creative podcast, Fake Mad Podcast, except my number one fan. But anyway, and sometimes I get the people, even girls that I'll date, like, they'll ask me, and this has been going on since, good Lord, since I was in college. I'll post something on Facebook. Back in the day, it was MySpace, Facebook, the Bird app, the Blue app, any of the apps. And I'm like, is that about me? What does that mean? And sometimes you don't want the stress. Me, I'm good at deflecting it, because whenever I post a question, it's never a personal question, no, regardless how, you know, if a hit dog will holler, right? So if I say, oh my God, I hate when girls blow in your ear. It's like, I blew in his hair. Are you talking about me? Like, no, but a hit dog will holler. You know, like, damn, Shakes took that question over. Mine was the whole blocking thing with the girl. But so, woman who asked me, what does it mean when your man block you on social media, but he can't block his exes? It means you're the problem. Potter, what do you, you know, it's still a new year, but what are you fake mad about this week, this year? Because we only 10 days into the year. Rest in peace, my guy, David Eller, a great friend of mine, and Potter's, and Jarrett was cool with him, too. But besides death, because we're going to speak life into existence, what you fake mad about today, Potter?
That college football championship last night.
They got blown the fuck out. Go Dogs. I'm not a Georgia fan, but my boys say go Dogs.
nah, man. I don't know. I hate that the system set up the way it is. I mean, if that's something I need to pick to be mad at, that's it. That was awful last night. That was like the worst football I've seen in forever.
Not if you're a Georgia fan.
I'm not a Georgia fan. I went to South Carolina, so I hate the Dogs.
Oh, okay. Now I'm saying, if you're a Georgia fan, it wasn't the worst football you ever seen in your life. But
no, but TCU should have never been in there. So,
hey, they punched their ticket. They won the game.
Yeah, but they beat Michigan, who's clearly not as good as everybody thinks they are. I think Jim Harbaugh sucks. And so, yeah, that's my fake man.
Where were South Carolina at, though?
Ooh. Oh, we were partying up from beating Tennessee and Clemson. Still, we're still doing that.
Jared, what you fake mad about today?
Did you claim I called Shake Shank when I didn't?
We gonna see when we replay the video. You called him Shank.
Shake.
And I didn't correct you. Appreciate
the time. Apology text in about an hour.
Well, I gotta go to the studio with Chris Dotson tonight, so I'm gonna have to edit this tomorrow. But you know, we gonna see. What do you really think mad about? Because I already accept your apology.
I'll be looking forward to the 3 p.m. apology.
You know how I put out those little snippets? You gonna make me put out a snippet where you call that man Shank instead of Shakes? But it's okay. I do this. This is what I do. So what are you really fake mad about today? Besides
That's it. That's my thing.
Oh, you're mad about that. You're mad that I called you out on and me being right. All right.
All right, bye. Hey. And the Baltimore Ravens shitty fucking offense. How about that?
Hey, y'all just re-signed one of the best defensive players in the league, in Smith.
Hey, that's the biggest contract
for a linebacker.
Yeah, $20 million a year, biggest contract.
The Ravens shitty fucking offense, and the fact those idiots are considering re-signing Lamar for anywhere near what he's asking for.
You don't want LJ back? All right, I wasn't going to say football podcast, but I got a couple of minutes. Lamar Jackson.
Not for what he's asking for.
Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback y'all had in Ravens history.
Yeah, but that's like saying I'm taller than my business partner. He's 5'6". Like, we're not.
Shout out Jeff Booth. That's my guy. I got to get him on the podcast. He's asking.
Love him to death. Love him to death. But, I mean, it's really, you know what I mean? Like, okay, compared to Joe Flacco and Ryan Mallett and
Brad Johnson. Honestly, Brad Johnson was there.
McNair's 2 years. I would take him.
Trent Dilfer.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, not Brad Johnson. Trent Dilfer. Trent Dilfer won the Super Bowl with y'all. Yeah. The worst quarterback in the Super
Bowl. Exactly. He'll be the first to admit it. I would take the 2 years we had of Steve McNair over Lamar.
McNair was great. McNair was a yard and a half away from winning the Super Bowl. So
he was.
Rest in peace, Steve McNair. He was the best. And
4th of July.
And watch this. I always bring this in. He went to an HBCU. Ah, my guy.
Right.
He went to Alcorn State, Aiken State. Am I
yeah, Alcorn? Yeah.
I know. Yeah. You know why I can't say the name right? Because they never fucking beat Morgan State, the best HBCU in the fucking land. Anyway, Shakes, what you fake mad about today?
The fact you got I'm mad at the Joe Flacco hate. He was a top five quarterback that year when they won the Super Bowl. He was
No. We were talking about Trent Dilfer, not him. Trent Dilfer was the quarterback who sucked that won the Super Bowl.
I was hating on Flacco.
Flacco was the Super Bowl MVP, and
Flacco had one of the best 6-game runs in the history of quarterbacking, and he turned it into a fucking dump truck of money. But he was average, if not shit, most of the other time.
Flacco is the reason that the Steelers didn't make the Super Bowl. Make the playoffs. So you should be happy. He's still riding for y'all this year. And he's Jersey Joe. Joe Flacco is from Jersey originally, Delaware boy. Shout out Joe Flacco. And you know what? I got a story about him. You know, I got a story. Shake. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Joe Flacco used to live. He didn't live in Owens Mills. He lived in Baltimore. But this guy, I think he was like an introvert, like I used to be, and I am sometimes. He like take out his trash and shit. He had a nice little house. And people say hi to him, he would wave, and he would hurriedly and rush in the house. Like, and I would see it all the time because he lived not too far from Morgan. So I don't know if probably now he's over that because, you know, he's rich and older. But back then, he was shy as fuck. He didn't hang out with the defense. I used to part of the defense, and then Ray Rice come through. But I like Flacco. Shout out Flacco. He's a Jersey guy. Shakes, I need a real – what you fake mad about today?
You know what? This is a safe space, right?
Always, my brother.
Okay. All right. So I'm in my feels, big feelings on, I'm going to have to like make a decision just to not have a relationship with my grandfather because of cutting off my aunt.
Elaborate.
Who is now his primary caregiver. Grandfather lives with my aunt. He's pretty, he still has his wits about him and everything, but he gave up his house and with her and, you know, her husband, and, you know, he's there in the Poconos or whatever. And so to get to him, I go to the house to see him. And I phone to speak to him. He gave up. They need it. No problem. Well, just recently, I don't know how old your demographics are. I was in a War of the Roses-esque divorce that I finally was able to secure my file.
Your phone is going in and out. You said you were in a divorce?
Oh. But yeah,
I didn't know that.
In a divorce in November of 2017. I just got it filed with the clerk in October 28th of 2022. It took me 5 years to get my freedom.
Free.
Right. Freedom isn't free. It comes with a price. I can show you the receipts. However,
it $50?
For $50, yeah, no. If I could have gotten divorced in a
year, I hear you, but I'm sorry. Came through,
that said I would take the herpes. Disregard that.
Oh, no, I didn't hear that part. I just heard it now. And that's funny. That's even funnier now. I would take the herpes over divorce. This is a mad funny sound clip.
I was basically saying my aunt herself with my ex through these proceedings, and it got kind of weird. And she sent me a very passive aggressive text message right before Thanksgiving. And I've left her on red.
You can't have none of her turkey.
But it's weighing on me not being able to. I don't feel like I can be at space and not confront her. And I don't. So I've taken the approach of just stepping back. And it is weighing on me because I do enjoy, you know, spending that time with my grandfather. So I don't know.
As we get older, and I'm sorry for y'all who listen to this podcast, you already made this point before. As we get older in life, right? No, I'm in my 30s, about to hit my 40s pretty soon. The big 4-0 party hosted by Jared coming soon. But as I get older, I realize that the people that raised us are getting older, and we're starting to lose out on people. God damn it, I'm losing people who are young. That's why I have survivor's remorse. But the people we get who are older, we're losing them too. And so I just want all my elders and all my people that were here before me to help raise me, squash y'all beef and fucking hash it out. Y'all ain't got to be buddy-buddy, but goddamn it, you still love each other. And Shakes, my advice to you, I know it took a while to get there, but I'm here, is go ahead and do what you can to calm the storm. You can't squash the beef, but calm the storm. That's all I got to say. Before we get out of here, fellas, anybody want to say anything else before I end this podcast? Jared, anything?
This year sucks so far.
that only means it's going to get better, though, right?
You know what? Regression to the mean goes both ways. So let's hope you're right. Shake, I'm thinking about you, man. Kind of what Fousey said, you know, you got to spend time with your grandpa while you can. Maybe even it's best to squash the beef with the auntie, and then you can restoke the beef when your grandfather's passed. But don't let her get in the way of your relationship with him. Unfortunately, it would be a suggestion. It's always easier said than done. But
facts.
Much love to you, Fousey, for having us. Nice to meet you, gentlemen. Always. Much love to everybody listening. Here's to a prosperous and happy and hopefully healthy 2023 to everybody.
And a great great Gatsby. Potter, last words. Yep. I don't like the word last words. Potter, close us out with your words.
Oh, yeah. Just wanted to say, too, I mean, as you were saying earlier, too, you know, there's unfortunately during a divorce, because I've been through it, too, there's a lot of passive aggressiveness that goes on in the middle of that, you know, and so you've got to do your best to try to get past that. I mean, and same thing, Shake, you know, I wouldn't let just what Jared said, I wouldn't let the relationship with your grandfather diminish because of that. You know, you can always be the positive person on the side, you know, and just sit there and always be the good guy. And that's something you won't regret down the road so that you don't end up losing out on that relationship. Other than that, nothing. No, as we were saying earlier, man, I think we were all good friends with David Ayler, who's certainly one of my best friends, too.
R.P. David, my guy, my lawyer, but also my guy.
Yeah, my attorney too, but he's also my guy too, and certainly lost a legend this past week. So, but that's all I got to say, man. It's certainly been awesome talking to you guys today.
Awesome. And when I sign off, y'all don't have to sign off. I'm signing off for the podcast, not off for the Zoom. Shakes, last words. I'm sorry, not last words, but last thing you want to say on this particular podcast before I sign it off?
Yes, yes. I definitely appreciate the energy. I appreciate the invitation and the conversation, gentlemen. I want to give a moment just to give you guys collectively my condolences on the loss. You know, I
appreciate it.
Thank you.
Right. And just in closing, thank you for having me, Fousey. I always appreciate the opportunity to chop it up with you and be a fly on the wall.
Can I stop you real quick? I just want to tell a story for the podcast. Another one who went there was my homegirl Jess, who passed away. And Shake, you know her, because when she passed away in her sleep last year, maybe 2 years out now, but you know, she passed away within the last 2 years. And one of the first people that reached out to me, not just a message, this motherfucker called me. I didn't even know he had my number. This motherfucker called me and was like, yo, you good? Because me and Jessica went way back. And like, and it was crazy because like, I was like, this first, I was like, how you get my number? That's the first thing I said. Like, ignoring, as we do with the men, the men, I'm saying men on purpose, the men to blockers, don't worry about me. I rather know how you addressing me, right? So how you get my number? Anyway, but Shakes, he was like, yo, I know you and her were close, which many people didn't realize how close we were because the internet makes it seem like everybody close. So when she died, I was like, my homie, shout out my cousin Tone Bees, entertainment lawyer down in Atlanta, if y'all need him, Anthony Showell. But I'm an ultimate promo guy, I swear. But anyway, me and Tone used to crash her house all the time. And so Shakes is one of the first to hit me up via phone call, not via text or message, and say, yo, are you good? I was like, how you get my number? He's like, you gave me a number a while ago. I just never had to use it till now. Anyway, my bad, Shakes. I was just giving profile and giving love, but you know, go ahead. My bad. Finish your thing. I was just giving you flowers. I ride the flowers. Nah, than dirt, you know.
I appreciate it. I'm definitely the pick up the phone person rather than leaving a post. You know, I think there's something that's lost. The humanity is lost through social media. But yeah, man, I just I'm glad to be able to chop it up with some even emotionally balanced gentlemen, and you know, just one last time, just a shout out to that guy, that young step of Rome. Listen, man, it's just do what you gotta do.
$50 for some herpes.
Yeah, like don't let that be your defining moment, man. Like you're bigger than them bumps.
You bigger than them bumps.
Now $50 hookers and big hug to Shakes. It's not like you're going through some stuff right now. I want you there. And over the internet hug, my friend.
You bigger than those bumps is mad funny. Yo. All right, fellas. I appreciate you as always. We all have personal relationships as most people. Although we about to get started getting some quote-unquote famous people here, celebrities, so it'll be weird for me to talk to people I don't know. Regardless, this is the Fake Mad Podcast with Fousey B. I didn't have an intro. I didn't have an outro except to say, let me read it again. Thank y'all for listening to the dumbass, pointless, non-creative podcast. The Fake Mad Podcast with Fousey B. Episode 54. Signing off. God bless. Take care of yourself and each other's, and good night.